Bad case of loving Dr. Turf. G'day, Doc.
Hello, Kevin. That's you, is it? Can barely see you in here.
What do you mean you can barely see
All the windows here are blocked up. Anyone who drives past SEN will be shocked to see what's on the walls here and over all the windows here.
Station's only
supporting
photos
of you. All the windows here are blocked up with photos of you. I mean,
it's Tiger time.
It's school holidays. This kiddie's driving past. You know how kids are scared of clowns these days? The big kids won't sleep for days after driving past here, looking at your ugly mug on the window here. It's a hideous photo. It's scary.
It's just barracking for the Tigers. Go Tigers.
Yeah, but I mean, not the windows as well. Kev, we've got to live and breathe, please. But yes, anyway.
All the businesses in, around Richmond. You've driven around Richmond, Doc. Everyone's getting into the theme.
And good on them, too. It's an exciting time.
It's part of the fun, isn't it?
Oh, I suppose it is.
Now, you've watched the Brownlow last night. You love TV. You're a TV critic, really.
Is it over?
Aren't you?
Is the Brownlow finished
yet,
Kevin?
Yes, it has finished. Brian didn't like it. He thought it was a little bit cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy? Has Bruce McAvaney been charged with stalking it? Because when he crept up behind Dusty, I was scared. I was worried for him. That was just plain creepy.
Well, Brian said that, but he got directions, obviously, from the directors and producers that they wanted him to say a few words and just, you know, appear.
Yes, well, I'll tell you what would it take to read out 23 rounds? 30 minutes?
Well, it'd take a couple of minutes around, wouldn't it?
What the hell was the rest of it we had to endure? Aside from the fact there was 400 ads for a betting company, which, not a good look, and you know, they're not doing themselves any favours, I think, in the current climate, I wouldn't have thought. But it was the most, I mean, it's like the Brownlow interrupted the ads. Jeez, it was a painful...
The Brownlow interrupted the ads, Doc.
Yeah, it was a painful experience. I'd have to say it was a painful experience. And look, it was all theatrical.
A lot of the girls like the red carpet. They do like fashion.
Yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't, but that's over and done with by 8:30, Kevin. But to actually have to endure another 3 hours of that guff, honestly, please.
Well, is there a better way, Doc?
And since when have they announced an award for the 127th best mark of the year? Did they actually say it was the 127th best mark of the year? With all due respect to Joe, Kevin.
Well, that was picked by the public.
Yes,
so
I know. Well, there you go.
You can't blame anyone, Doc. No. You can't blame me or anyone else.
I blame you
for that. It's the public.
The All-Australians. Haven't you blokes been shelved? There's about six of the top 10 in the Brownlow weren't even in the All-Australian team. Dear, oh dear.
Now, look, you just want to pick the All-Australian team with the top 22 players in the Brownlow medal.
No,
look, that's what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. Do you get paid for being on the All-Australian committee?
No.
Well, it's about time they made it professional, Kevin. Without being a smart aleck, that's not my style. How many games a week do you watch?
I try and watch every game during the week. Because we talk about it on the program.
You reckon the others do?
Well, I think they watch a lot of footy, Doc, yes.
Well, I just think if you're going to do...
Probably as much as anyone else would ever watch, I would think, members of the panel would watch. You watch a lot. You could be on the panel because you watch a lot of footy, Doc.
I watch a lot of footy. I watch a bit. But anyway...
Do you watch every game, Doc?
No, about six, probably.
Well, that's a lot of footy.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, but
you're jumping up and down because
I'm not jumping up and
you're
down.
You're suggesting that what you should be doing is
like
this is a person who goes crook at the umpires each week and says they've got no idea.
I never go crook at the umpires. That's not my
style.
So
now you want to pick all the award shows. All you do is just go to the Brownlow Medal and the top 22 players. That's the All Australian side.
Yeah,
is that what you want?
No.
What do you want, Doc?
I'm suggesting perhaps that if you're going to be on the All Australian committee, that you should be paid for it, and you should have to watch eight games a week.
Why would you have to be paid
to do the job
professionally? So you wanted Luke Parker in the All Australian side. You wanted Dane Beams in the All Australian side. You wanted Ollie Wines in the All Australian side. You wanted Bontempelli in the All Australian side.
No, I didn't want him in.
All these.
I wanted Josh
Kennedy.
They're all top 10. Anyway, like I was just
talking gibberish.
not as much gibberish as you were talking this morning. You've got to let go of this jumper thing, mate. Honestly, you've got to let go of it.
If people ask
me a
question,
you're going to distract yourself.
If people ask me a question, I give them an answer, Doc.
You accuse the CEO of the AFL of talking the gibberish. He's threatening gibberish of the year.
He is.
You know,
What do you think of the front page of the Football Record?
Well, we know they're going to put their traditional. What are you asking me about the price of it?
No. Why have they got Richmond in a black jumper with a yellow sash on the front of the grand final record?
Because that's their traditional jumper.
They're not playing in that jumper, Doc.
I know they're not, Kevin, but for the purposes of the front. What did you want them to do, Kevin? On the front cover. You wouldn't have it in there, a waist strip on the front cover.
Well, Doc, if it's a clash jumper for grand final day and that's the grand final record,
you've got
to actually have the jumper there on the field with, surely.
I see where the AFL's coming from, Kevin. I see where the AFL's coming from.
Roger has joined us in Croydon. He wants to talk about the Brownlow medal last night. G'day, Rog. Hello, Roger.
Come on, Rog.
We'll give Roger a miss. We'll go to Craig, who's out on the road. G'day, Craig.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good. Don't talk about a topic Doc doesn't want to hear.
Just 2 points. The first one is the Brownlow medal. I don't know if you watch it when they presented the mark of the year, but they had the players up on their screen, and when Jerry Mahow was all smiles, but as soon as they mentioned Danner's name, God, he was dirty. He was absolutely dirty that he lost.
And the other thing, well, you've got to blame the fans for that.
Exactly. Well, the other thing, Kevin, you've announced the umpires. Did they announce what colours their umpires are going to be wearing? Because I'll be amazed if they walk out
yellow
in their lime green and stand next to the Richmond players in the yellow. And I think if they do that, then Gill's got to give it up, mate. He's lost the plot.
No, I don't know what colours the umpires are wearing on grand final day, but we did put out the umpires. The three umpires have been selected, so congratulations.
Who are they?
I'll put them up on the screen again. Matt Stevic
Nichols
is one. No. Matthew, he has missed out.
Really?
The three of those umpires umpired one of the preliminary finals, and two of them have gone on to the grand final. Sean Ryan is one, and Simon Meredith is the other, along with Matt Stevic. And all three umpired preliminary finals, so they umpired the preliminary finals.
Simon Meredith.
Yeah. So whether they're going to wear grey, I don't know what colours they're going to wear on grand final day.
Who cares?
Okay.
Let them wear white. Have we done that before?
Well, white's a long time ago, isn't it?
Let go. All I'm saying is just let go.
I haven't.
Yes, you have. You've been banging on about it for the last 3 weeks.
If people ask me about it, Doc, I'll give you an answer.
You don't need to answer them.
Oh, so you're one of those people who just roll over again, too, you, Doc, aren't you? What a weak so-and-so you are, Doc.
Roll
honestly.
Over. Just embrace where you are and don't worry about it, mate.
I'm not worried about anything, Doc.
Yes, you are, mate.
I'm not worried about anything. I just don't like people talking gibberish to us and trying to convince people of something that doesn't exist.
I think you make a point there, because honestly, when I heard Gil talk about people in bars in New York, I thought, oh, please, Gil, no, don't go down. Don't go down that path.
Bars in New York.
Oh, please.
Oh, yes. We're very, very worried about those bars in New York with all those Americans over there not being able to tell the difference between the two sides. Mark's on the road. G'day, Mark. You want to talk to Dr. Turf?
Morning, Ted. Morning, Turfy.
Hey, Mark.
You better switch off for a sec, Turfy. You're not going to like what you're going to hear about this clash jumper, mate. I'm sorry.
Don't upset Doc.
I don't want to upset you, Doc, because you're a great man and I love your punning, mate. But I'll tell you what, KB, can I just clarify with you? You actually said that the AFL grand final records come out and the Tigers are in their traditional strip, correct?
That is correct. On the front cover.
On the front cover, yep. But then on the day, we've got to wear the alternative, correct?
That is correct.
So if kids are scared of the clowns, don't send them to AFL House. Because I'll tell you what, Kevin, it's all mixed messages, as you've said. You know, for God's sake, just concede and just say it is no clash, because there's no clash, Kevin.
Well, it's interesting too. Dustin Martin obviously had a bit of a press conference down at Richmond today, and they've got him standing there, Doc. And behind him, they've got this massive poster on the wall of a Richmond jumper, which is a black jumper with a yellow sash.
Is it?
And you know what it's got written across the top? Our jumper. That's what it's got, except on grand final day. Hamish is in Nutterwadding. G'day, Hamish.
G'day, KB. How are you?
Good. I'm going great. Doc's not going so good.
Oh, he's not going to be happy again, because I'm all about the clash jumper. It's a load of crap. I'm dead set Richmond, trying to get a ticket. If I can get a ticket for Saturday Arvo, I'm going to take a spare 22 jumpers, black, yellow, throw them onto the ground. Hopefully the boys can jump on them.
Well, certainly, look, I would think people told me that St Kilda did it, that maybe after the game, if the Tigers win, they'll put on the traditional jumper, which is a bit of a hollow thing to do. But, you know, this is what looks like it's come to this as far as footy clubs are concerned, Doc.
Yeah. Yes, maybe they could. It's the old traditional swapping of jumpers at the end of the game, Kevin. They swap jumpers for the old traditional jumper. Do you know, I went up in a lift on the weekend.
Where
at? The MCG. Going up.
Couldn't walk up the stairs, Doc?
I was going upstairs, up in the lift.
Well, too lazy, were you? Too lazy.
In the lift.
That's for old people to go up in the lift.
For a second.
Old people go up in the lift.
And in the lift, there were 10 people with Richmond jumpers on in the lift.
Yes.
And one of them said, gee, is Richmond playing Richmond today? And it was just like that, wasn't it? Do you know what? I just want to say, and I enjoyed the game on the weekend.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get out of the ground early because we were in it, parked at the car park. So I left early with my daughter, and we watched the last... We wanted to stay to the end of the game, to the final siren. And I reckon we watched the last 10, maybe 15 minutes of the game behind the Richmond goals, punt road end. And it was just spectacular. I can't tell you how much fun it was down there and the excitement. There were a few who were a little bit paralytic, but... just the emotion and the noise, and they must have sung Yellow and Black, I don't know, 20 times in the 10 minutes we were down there. It was very exciting down there. It was just the joy on the faces down there. It was
great
way to watch the last
10
minutes of the game.
It's a great thing about football. I mean, it does give a tremendous amount of joy to so many people.
In amongst all of this was one bloke in a GWS jumper. It was so funny.
And was he having fun?
He was having fun. He was probably a little bit concerned for his welfare. But
No, he wasn't.
The crowd were absolutely fantastic.
I remember it was exciting.
I was just saying it was just exciting to be down there behind the goals for the last 10 minutes of that game.
I can remember, you know, walking out from the Geelong-Richmond game.
Yeah.
And I made a comment to Denise. It was fantastic. I mean, the game had been won. It was over.
I don't think I've ever left a final earlier. As I did that
one. We stayed. But the point I'm making is that when we left...
You're getting free food.
There was all these Geelong supporters and all these Richmond supporters just all walking along together and, you know, just chatting. It wasn't anyone, you know, we won and everyone else is, you know, the bottom of the earth and all that sort of stuff. It was fantastic. And I said to Denise at the time, football supporters are great. They go there, they cheer their hearts out, they barrack for their clubs, and then whatever the result is, you know, they accept it very, very quickly, and then you just get on with it, and you're just part of the crowd going home and enjoying each other's company. I think it's one of the great things about Australian rules football, that our supporters, there's always an odd thing every now and then,
but
99% of the time...
No, you're right.
The way that AFL football supporters get on with each other after the game, during the game, is fantastic.
Do you reckon Racing Victoria would ever say, no, your colour's a little bit close to that horse's colours. We want you to wear away colours in the Melbourne Cup. Imagine that one. Because we don't want people that can be confused.
On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett. For Ruban Tyres, get the right tyre for your truck. Google RUBAND today. And the Holden Colorado, best of both. Visit your local Holden dealer now.
Coming through from the SMS is saying, how about mentioning Sturt and the Sandford Premiers in under-18s reserves and defeated Port Adelaide by 1 point in the seniors back-to-back 2016-2017. And I think Port Adelaide had that about 15 or 16 players, I think, also on a list. I think Sturt's a little bit like
Richmond.
Port Melbourne.
Oh, yep.
You know, virtually just standalone club and side with, you know, part-timers playing for Sturt. So it was a big win by Sturt over Port Adelaide. Now, Dennis wants to talk about the Caulfield Cup in Oakley. G'day, Dennis.
Yeah, good morning, Kev.
Dennis.
Good morning, Dr. T. Turfy, Harlem and Ellermandon as a Quinella in the Caulfield Cup, I think works. If Harlem actually wins, he's then thrown into the Melbourne Cup on the same weight, as I understand it. Is that correct?
What weight's he carrying, though, in the Caulfield?
No, he can get penalty. He can be penalised.
Got to be over 56.
Yep.
56 or more go... If you win the cup with 56, you don't get penalised.
No, if he won the Caulfield Cup, he'd copy his kilo and a half or something like that. Ellermandon, I'm not sure. Have they said where he's running? I'd be surprised if he ran in the Caulfield Cup.
Well, he's got 56 and a half in the Melbourne Cup, hasn't he? I'm not quite certain.
56 and a half he's got in the Melbourne Cup.
What is Caulfield Cup weight?
Looks very, very hard to beat in the Melbourne Cup from what we've seen.
So he will get a penalty, Dennis.
He will. I thought that they were doing it without penalty.
No.
Only up to a certain weight.
Yes.
I've misunderstood. Okay. Look, Turfy, you were talking to Kev before about the change at Guernsey. That interested me. You almost got to the stage of saying, I understand where the AFL is coming from. What about telling us where you think the AFL is coming from with this Crash Guernsey?
No, honestly, hand on my heart, I was saying that to just annoy Kevin. I didn't actually believe it when I said it. I really just wanted to annoy him. I'm being honest.
That's why you're quirky and very antagonistic.
I actually think it's a farce, the whole thing. I think they should be wearing their home strip. But, I just wanted to, get something out of him. But he didn't take
it. About the honest, most truthful person I've ever heard, Dr. Turf. Joey's in Montmorency. Thanks, Dennis. G'day, Joey.
G'day, Kevin and Dr. Turf. Joey. I too want to rub Kevin the wrong way too, Dr. Turf.
Yes.
I've been looking on the Richmond website, and I see that they have, I don't know which jumper he wants them to wear, there are 51 different jumpers that the Richmond Football Club has officially worn.
Really?
So which one is it you want to wear, Kev?
Just the traditional one.
The one with blue in it.
Just the traditional one, Joe.
Well, the first one that you wore actually was black and yellow stripes, Kevin. Do you want that?
Well, back in
1908.
Yep.
Did you wear that one?
I didn't wear that one, no.
You sure?
What's been their traditional jumper for the last, since 1908 then, Joe?
1908? No, since 1908 there's been 17 different home Guernseys worn.
Yeah, but there's a lot of home Guernseys worn at the moment, Joe, as you know. You don't have to be pedantic about this, Joe. We know that we've got jumpers with away jumpers and they've been practising with different jumpers over the years, and there's a Dreamtime jumper that's different designed all the time, Joe. You know as well as I know that the Richmond jumper is black with a yellow sash. Everyone in the country knows that, Joe, and if you don't know it, you've got no idea what you're talking about.
Thanks, Kev.
Thank you, Joe.
Barney's in Croydon. Glad he rang in.
Well, he's got no idea. If he doesn't know, you could ask anyone in the country.
Treat your listeners with respect,
mate. I did treat him with respect. If you ask anyone in the country, they'll tell you what the Richmond colours are. Everyone in the country knows that. I just said they've just had Dustin Martin down there. In the background, they've got a huge billboard with a black jumper and a yellow sash, and it's got our jumper on it. That's what stands down at Richmond. So I don't want Joe trying to tell me that Richmond's got 51 different jumpers.
Worked,
I can't
Joe.
Waste my time.
Well done, Joey. We've got him going
Barney's
now.
In Croydon. G'day, Barney.
He's on tilt now.
G'day, Turfy. G'day,
yes, Barney.
Look, a couple of quick things. First of all, stuff those intelligence types, KB, you'll do me for a rough, mate, because you are right on the money with this jumper. And do not roll over, Turfy, grow a pair, mate, because this is just AFL-driven crap. And the other AFL-driven crap is that you have to get on a website and vote for Mark of the Year and Goal of the Year. You're kidding, mate. I barracked for Essendon, mate. Joe Denner didn't win Mark of the Year. Jeremy Howe won it three times before he did.
Mm.
And bloody Eddie Betts should have won Goal of the Year by the length of the Flemington Strait.
You got to blame your fellow supporters for that, Barney, because they jumped on and voted. That was open for people to vote.
So, Barney just said that don't worry about what the intelligence era is saying, Kevin. He said, you're dumb. He did. One of your listeners?
That's been said before.
Good on you, Barney.
That's been said
before. Nailed it.
Are you happy with that, are you, Doc? Angelo is in Geelong. G'day, Angelo.
Morning, gents. Okay, if Richmond are good enough to win the premiership wearing an alternative strip, are you still going to mope and whinge and whine like you've been drinking chicory tea?
If they win it, that'll be fantastic, Angelo. Be fantastic. But Angelo, if you had a choice, Angelo, and someone was giving you a furphy, who do you vote for? The Cats?
No, I'm a Carlton supporter.
Right, okay, so Carlton's even better. Jumper. So on grand final day, Angelo, you'd be happy for Carlton to wear a white jumper with CFC on the front and win the premiership, which would be fantastic. But what would be better, Angelo? Would it be better to win the premiership with a dark blue with a CFC on the front or a white jumper with a CFC? What would you prefer?
My preference is to win the premiership.
Yeah, but what would you prefer, Angelo? But Angelo, yes you do. You didn't answer the question. The question is, as a Carlton supporter, it's a given you're going to win the premiership. Do you want to win it with a white jumper with CFC or do you want to win it with a dark navy blue jumper with CFC? Which one do you want, Angelo?
I'd prefer the dark navy. Doesn't mean I'm going to...
Thank you very much, Angelo. Ben's in Warrandyke. G'day, Ben.
Just before we go to Ben, come on, listeners. We're on a roll here.
No, we're not.
We've got a rough chance of making this head explode today. We've got a rough chance. Keep at it, listeners.
No, no, you'll upset Mark Robinson because Mark doesn't like me talking about it. He thinks it's a distraction. Yeah. Although I do say, I did see today that in the Herald Sun on the Super Footy podcast, Mark's on it with Lauren Wood, Michael Warner and Anthony Hudson. They've got their Super Footy podcast and it says, finally they get this to one day in 37 years and they've got to wear this crap jumper that no one likes. So that's one of their topics
now,
today.
Now, radio is
so I wish they shut up about it with the Herald Sun and
radio
stop talking about the clash jumper.
Mind. I'll just give the listeners a heads up here. Kevin's head in the last 8 minutes has gone a little bit orange. We are getting very, very close to a pumpkin appearing.
The man is unravelling. By and large, he's unravelling.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm sticking around. I don't care if I'm here till 2:30. I'm sticking around until your head blows up.
I won't be here.
Your head's going to explode.
I won't be here. No, but the point I made to the Carlton fan
Kevin.
Says he would rather win it with the blue jumper. And the CFC.
I'd rather see them wear the M&M jumper. Come on, move on.
No, you
for
not.
God's sake, Kevin, move
on. Have you got anything you want to say? What's written down in front of you there, Doc? You've got a lot of topics in front of you there.
No, I've just got one note here. Annoy Kevin.
Reese.
I'm on a roll.
John is in Croydon North. Good day, John.
Oh, not more clash jumpers.
Hey, Kevin, how are you going?
Yes, Johnny.
You speak to Dr. Turf.
I'm a colleague, but I'll be happy to wear our clash jumper.
Yes, because it's the same as your real jumper, your peanuts.
It's fantastic, isn't it, Johnny?
Yep.
I reckon it's fantastic. And you know what? You know why Eddie
Don't.
Maguire...
Kevin, if you point at me, I'm walking out.
You know why Eddie Maguire is so much loved by Collingwood fans?
Why is that,
because
Kevin?
He gives Collingwood fans what they want. He actually gives Collingwood fans, the small supporter, a voice. And he gives them what they want. And he understands the DNA of a football club. And he understands colours. And he understands jumper design. So Eddie has done a deal where he is... It's a complete furphy, of course. Had the black jumper with the white vertical stripes or the white jumper with the black vertical stripes. But you know what?
What, Kevin?
He's done it for Collingwood fans, and good on Eddie. Because what he has said to people at the AFL and their clash jumpers, you can all go and get stuff.
So you're saying...
this is our clash jumper.
You're saying Peggy's weak. Is that what you're saying now?
I think the Richmond board,
Peggy
have rolled over.
Peggy and Brendan Gale are weak.
Yes, they've rolled over.
Weak.
Weak. Rolled over. Absolutely. Of course they are. Because if...
And why don't you turn your back on the club for another 19
Doesn't
years?
Doesn't mean they're
then.
Not good.
Do them all a favour, Kevin.
Doesn't mean if they're not good
turn
people.
Turn your back on them again.
Doesn't mean they're not good people.
It was
though.
A win-win.
Doesn't mean they're not good people. They've just rolled over, that's all. All I'm saying is, Eddie hasn't rolled over on little things. Little things that are important to football supporters. Don't worry about the big items. No, most times a football supporter, he's got nothing to do with the big items.
He hasn't rolled
but
over.
But they have little items. And one of the things they like is their colours, Doc, and their jumper.
He hasn't rolled over to the point that he doesn't want any advertising on the jumper. He's not unhappy with that. He doesn't mind it being a billboard, does he?
Well, every club needs that, Doc, because they've got to pay players.
Because there's money for it. There's no money in it.
They've got to pay players, Doc.
Listen, you're a peanut.
They've got to pay players and coaches, Doc.
On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Ruban Tyres. Get the right tyre for your truck. Google RUBAND today. And the Holden Colorado, best of both. Visit your local Holden dealer now.
Welcome back. Dr. Turf has joined us 18 minutes to midday. Don't forget, coming up, Francis Leach is coming up in the run home with Ox and Marco and Evenings with Finey as well. Before we go back to our callers, Doc,
yes.
You followed the NFL very, very closely. Mm. I was reading about all the players kneeling down, but I also read where the television ratings over there for the NFL are at their lowest for 7 years.
I wonder if it's mutually exclusive. I hope it is, Kevin. I hope this is not a protest by the fans over... the debate that's going on, and it's perceived as being disrespecting the flag and the national anthem and so forth. But now they're at pains to explain this is a protest about racism and the treatment of blacks. And obviously, I think that Michael Bennett being vigorously manhandled by the police in Las Vegas pre-season may have had something to do with the reinvigoration of this protest by what was originally Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback for the 49ers, but has now mushroomed. There was at least 200 on the weekend. And I noticed today of course, Monday Night Football, and Dallas Cowboys are playing playing Arizona. And I noticed the Dallas Cowboys, what they did was they took the knee, as they say, the kneeling, including Jerry Jones, the owner. I've never seen him on the pitch before, but there he was. So the entire lineup. But they did it before the national anthem today, which was interesting.
And then stood for the national anthem.
And then stood for the national anthem. But this is...
So what's that all about? What message
is
that?
Well, I think what they're trying to... Because they've been accused of disrespecting the flag and the anthem, they're trying to actually, you know, disassociate that, you know, what they're trying to do from the accusation that they're disrespecting the anthem and the flag.
And are people going to buy that?
What the Dallas Cowboys did today would be, you know, heading in that sort of direction. But the point being is that, you know, it was a one-man protest. On the weekend, it's 200 or 300. I noticed a baseball catcher took the knee, if you like, as well. Now LeBron James is involved as well. It is huge. And they're at pains to say this is about racism and Black Lives Matter and all that sort of stuff. So it's
so why the big drop off?
What's interesting is that before we get onto that is that, you know, Donald Trump saw off the American media, and he saw off his own party, and he saw off Hillary Clinton, the Democrats. But now he's taken on the NFL and maybe the NBA. I mean, I suspect if the NBA was in season at the moment, it would be equally as vigorous, the campaign. So it's just interesting to observe it. What it all means and how it's going to unfold remains to be seen. Whether this is can be associated with the ratings, which were poor in week one, didn't improve in week two. Haven't seen week three come through yet. But it would be extremely worrisome, I would have thought, for not just the NFL, but for the networks and the players themselves and the clubs and so forth. It's very easy to say, look,
it's the biggest sport over in America, so it's very rare for it to actually drop in popularity, isn't it?
Of course. And it's an easy accusation to make to the players. Oh, you're all multi-millionaires. You should be proud of the flag and what it's given you. What they're trying to say is, hang on, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this for our race, which... You know,
you were talking about the ratings dropping off last year. Steve Salisbury said to us that it was only because of the Trump and Hillary Clinton's
election.
That had taken away a lot of the
people are saying it. Maybe it's
the focus, but the fact is, it's continued on this year, and it's even gone lower.
They're saying, well, the footy's the standard's not very good this year, and the scores are down. I'm not sure about the round that's just been. It seemed to be pretty high scores the round that's just gone through. So yeah, look, I think people are just questioning what's going on in sport, because I also mentioned that the English Premier League had their flattest year for 20 years last year. So I just wonder whether it's a worldwide trend in sport at the moment, that people are getting a little bit jack of pain for their sport. Who knows?
Record crowds in the AFL. Reece is in Altona. G'day, Reece. Thanks for joining us along with Doc.
Yeah, how you going? You guys wouldn't have noticed on Saturday, I was sitting at home. I was really going for Richmond, and I don't support them, but I had $20 on a 40-plus win, and... I thought I had it, and then it was a free, just as the siren went.
Yeah.
And I didn't see, I mean, you wouldn't have noticed it, but I'm watching on TV, you didn't see the guy kick the goal. It just triggered over into the scoreline, and he goes, the 40-plus, it was down to 36, so...
He kicked a goal after the siren.
After, with a free.
No one cared about it.
Homburg, or Harrison...
Himmelberg. I didn't even know who the player was, so...
Himmelberg.
Kicked his fourth.
Yes, he did, yes. He had a good game, that boy.
No, he didn't.
He did have a good game.
He had a few touches.
Hey.
He had a few touches. He only had about 9 or 10 possessions,
didn't
he?
He kicked four goals as a key forward.
Yes, he did, Kevin.
That's a good effort, Doc.
Okay.
But no one cared about the goal at the end, did they? Because just...
Where are they, the Giants, Kevin? Where are they?
I think they're still in a good space, the Giants. I think next year they'll be one of the teams to beat next year. They'll probably get through to at least the top four.
Mm.
Just depends, you know, what their continuity is like during the course of the year. I think they had more players out than anyone else. Lost more games.
Clearly they did.
About 200 games, I think they lost.
And as I said to you the other day, I don't think I can ever remember a club having lost less games through injury than the Tigers this year.
Oh, Tigers hardly had an injury. They've only got two injuries on their entire list, I think Neil Barnes said
last
week.
One of the VFL games had 19 AFL-listed players play. Yeah. There's only 20 on the field, isn't
there? Nathan Drummond is one boy, I think, injured. And then there's another boy. So only two on the entire list unavailable for the Tigers. So that's what you need to get through to the grand final. Gary's in Nidri. G'day, Gary.
Good morning. Good afternoon, boys. How are we?
No, it's good morning still.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah,
still.
Yes. Yeah, 12 minutes to midday.
Oh, I'm losing track of time. We've been at side with Richmond. as Big Kev would say, I'm excited.
It's just Tiger time anyway, Gary.
Absolutely. What I wanted to speak about was I was watching the Brownlow last night and quite enjoying it. And Dr. Turf, I agree with you with these betting ads, how they were just absolutely shoving it in people's faces. They talk about gamble responsibly. How about them putting the ads on when they put one? How about they be a bit more responsible with shoving it in people's faces?
Yeah, there was saturation last night. I did notice that, and I think they want to be a little bit careful. You know, there is a mood, you know, a swing against it and against that sort of advertising at the moment. It's already sort of some sort of bans are coming in, and you wouldn't really. Want a blanket ban on sports betting advertising because that's it's an illegal activity. So, I just don't think they're sort of quite sort of measuring the mood out there in the public at the moment. That was not saying offensive last night, but it was absurd. I thought the saturation advertising last night during the Brownlow. Aside from the fact that there was 8 million ads anyway during the Brownlow presentation last time. My God, there was a lot of ads, Kevin.
Well, it's obviously expensive to put it on, Doc.
Just reading about... Jerry Jones told them that they had to stand during the national anthem.
You said the owner, he's the owner, and he came down onto the pitch.
Yeah, so clearly they decided to do the protest, if you like, if that's what you want to call it, prior to the national anthem. But yeah, to actually see Jerry Jones there, arms linked with his team on the ground was very unusual, Kevin.
And even
Tom Brady apparently has come out and had a crack at Trump now. And Tom Brady and Trump are as thick as thieves.
Message says, streaming technology and sports viewed on mobile devices have probably had an impact on traditional TV viewership.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, and there's no doubt about that people are watching their sport on other devices now, and I don't think there's quite the same revenues involved either in people watching it via streaming applications. However, that doesn't amount to a 10% drop-off, and in some cases 15% on some of the networks, 15% drop-off in the NFL. No way does that add up.
A break, 9429 1116. We'll come back with Dr. Turf. I've told you, he's quirky and he's very antagonistic.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Ruban Tyres. Get the right tyre for your truck. Google RUBAND today. And the Holden Colorado. Best of both. Visit your local Holden dealer now.
Oh, there it is.
Jerry Humphries and the loved ones. Tell what, how good would they have been on grand final
half-time
day?
Half-time entertainment, you're
Jerry
right.
Humphries and the loved ones. And what a great band they were. Doc, just quickly, what about Kieran Maher, the trainer?
Yeah.
What happens to all of his horses? He's been rubbed out for, 6 months and fined a large sum of money?
$75,000, I think, was the fine. Yeah, we mentioned that
couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I thought they may throw the book at him. I think he's...
Might have got a couple of
not
years.
Not saying he's done a deal with him, but look, he's been very contrite. He's apologised. He hasn't appealed. I think he's copped the 6 months and not happy to have copped the 6 months, but it was a silly, poor error of judgment.
He's a leading trainer for those who haven't been following racing, and there was horse racing under his training ship. And it was the owner on wasn't the correct owner who owned the horse.
No, and a very cheap transfer of $60,000, I think, was the fee paid from a filly like that.
So what happens to all of his horses?
Well, they will.
People want to know, can his brother train them?
Declan has only had a license for a reasonably short time. Declan actually put the polish on Regina Chelly when she won the Grand Annual at Warrnambool this year. I'm not sure they'll cop that. In fact, I think they may have already knocked that back, haven't they? I haven't caught up with the news yet.
I think someone
yet,
said Terry Bailey said his brother can't
train. So, train, okay, so it'll be interesting. Was it one of the Freemans took over when Lee got put out? They seemed to have copped that back in the day, didn't they? Remember, I think I'm right there. That was a long time ago. But look, I'm sure
might have different rules now.
Looking around for suitable stables for his horses to go to. for the next 6 months, Kevin.
Then you hope you actually get those horses back.
I would suspect he's a very good trainer, Kieran Maher. Of course, put the polish on Jamaica, and he's got that good horse jukebox going around. And Merchant Navy, a bit disappointing on the weekend, Merchant Navy.
What did you think of the Trent Cotchin decision, Doc? You're very good on the
he's
MRP.
He's a very, very lucky boy. I mean, nobody wanted him to miss a grand final. But really, Kevin, you know, if Dylan Grimes or somebody had done the same thing and was, he would have got a week, Kevin. Surely he gets a week. But that's, and look, we're all happy with it. But, you know, it was, I think the point being that I don't think the AFL thought that one through all that carefully when they decided to, you know, bring in suspensions and fines and so forth for vigorous tackles. But typically they didn't quite think it through and it nearly bit them on the backside. And maybe it would have, and Dangerfield really, you know, thank God that Dangerfield didn't poll more votes than Dusty Martin, although perhaps perhaps they organised it that he wouldn't, Kevin, because how we never got votes in that game against the Pies was just beggared belief.
Well, that's happened before, though, hasn't it?
It has
happened. Where players have played games that people think they should get votes.
Greg Williams famously, I think, didn't he have 80 possessions or 40-something possessions one day and didn't get any votes?
Hmm. But that's happened.
So it does happen, Kevin, but it was hard to, given the fact that he does attract votes, it was hard to imagine.
I was broadcasting that day. I think Scotty Lucas was doing the game with us and he gave him best on ground.
He was best. I watched the game, Kevin.
It was incredible.
He was best on ground.
He was very good. Kicked the goals when they needed, did the tackles, took the big marks. But anyway, he never got a vote.
So I think they dodged another bullet there as well. I don't think they think things through enough, Kevin. The Boffins?
Adam's thought this through. He's got a question for Dr. Yes. Turf from Keeler. G'day, Adam.
Hey, Turfy. Any idea where the Darren Weir horse, Plain CL, was at? I was...
Oh, Plain CL. Yeah, yeah. Where is it?
Sorry?
Where is it?
Yeah,
that's what he wants to know.
I was thinking it was a genuine cup chance and... I haven't seen it yet this spring, wondering if you knew anything.
Well, I don't know about a cup's chance. He was eligible for a lot weaker races than that. But no, I haven't seen him since his last victory. So maybe an issue. I'll try and chase him up. Kevin, you're feeling okay now. Getting close to midday. You're okay now with the Clash Jumpers. You put it behind
that
you.
Well,
mate.
Doc. No, you, I haven't.
You've
been.
Got to. Do you agree? It's time now to move on and put it behind. You're quite happy. You're going to have to deal with the Clash Jumper. You're okay with it. Are you okay with it?
People want to know, can you pre-purchase the grand final program booklet without attending the game? Of course you can. You just go to your local news agents and you'll
Kevin,
be able to pick one up. It costs $15.
That it doesn't matter anymore. Concede the fact, Kevin. Concede it. Doesn't matter. He's going pink.
Tomorrow,
he's going orange.
Tomorrow we'll actually
explode.
Give away some of the...
His head's going to explode. It's going to come off.
The grand final records.
Bang! It's gone!